Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book today, and we are in the chapter There is a Solution, page 17. Going to focus our discussion on one single paragraph today, and that will be paragraph 2. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Denise H., the 12 Traditions, Robin D.Z., and reading the text in support today, John K., Wendy B., Marissa E. Greeting newcomers today, listen for Cindy D. to do that, and Leslie M. with B. with announcements. Thank you so much for that service. Let's see what else we're going to talk about here. The reference numbers, the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting. That would be April Fool's Day, April 1, 2019, 10 a.m., 12727, 12,727. And then we had a meeting this morning, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting as recorded. And that share ID number is for April 2nd, 2019, 12729, 12,729. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Denise Ace to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can. Howdy.
Okay, here are the 12 steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take moral personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Denise H. I will now ask Robin D.Z. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me do service. Pass.
Appreciate that very much. Robin DZ. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And that would include, please, the star 1 option rather than muting your own handheld set for technology and recording purposes. Thank you for that consideration. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the second chapter, There is a Solution, on page 17. And we're going to unpack paragraph 2 today, which begins with, we are average Americans, and then ends with, we are now joined. And John Kay, would you please begin that reading and then give us your experience on that? Thanks.
Thank you, Melanie. John, John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. We are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who normally would not mix. But there exists among us a fellowship of friendliness, an understanding, which is incredibly wonderful. We are like passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement which binds us, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. Wow, you know, this analogy, passengers of a great liner the moment after shipwreck, I tend to think of it more as we're in a foxhole and it's war out there and we all have a common enemy, and because unlike rescued passengers, this war isn't over. You know, these passengers are done, but, you know, we're still doing it. You know, and that's why principles before personalities is so important. You know, if it's not, for the fellowship itself, but for our continued recovery. I mean, when I first got sober years and years ago, I got sober in this little clubhouse where everybody knew each other, and then I started knowing too much. You know, I'd listen to this guy speak, and I think, oh yeah, you may be saying great program things, but I know you're sleeping with this guy's wife. Or then another person, yeah, you say or saying great things, but I know you're a compulsive gambler. And anyway, what happened is I slowly checked every one of them off. I wouldn't listen to them, and guess what happened? I drank, not them. And that's why it's so important that I got that. I think I had to do that to get that. But, you know, it talks about many political, economic, social, religious backgrounds. You know, well, thank God for the traditions. I mean, think of how many people you know in program. If you're like me and you're involved in program and vision, I mean, I must know 200, 300, 400 people, right? Now, think about if you're an American, think of the toxic political climate in this country. And I'm not talking about just now, but for the past decade or two. And think of how rancorous it could easily be if we all started talking politics. You know, I hear horror stories from families at Thanksgiving. But I don't care if my closest program friends are on the other end of the political spectrum for me. They're friends. There's people I can call when I'm having problems. Again, they're my combat buddies next to me in the foxhole, you know. You know, you also see this in status. I mean, I live here in L.A., you know. I got a guy at my men's meeting, AA meeting, who's a major TV film star. I mean, I know a guy in AA who's walked on the moon. I know a woman in L.A. who's on one of the most popular TV shows right now. Guess what? They're just another member. They do service like everybody else. And more importantly, you know, nobody's coming up and asking them for selfies or autographs because it doesn't matter. Not only doesn't it matter, it could endanger their habits. To sobriety. I mean, they need the same thing we all do. They suffer from the same disease, and they need to feel safe and anonymous. And, you know, they're here. I'm here. We're all here for one common purpose, to get recovery and help others to recover, period. And, you know, that's another one of those thank God for traditions things. You know, nobody's here trying to hand me a business card, and nobody's here trying to get me interested in the business venture. You know, we're all here. The feeling of having shared in a common barrel, that's it, you know. And that's why staying close is so important. You know, remember, this is not called an organization. It's called a fellowship. You know, think of what that word means. We need each other. And I'll close with one of my favorite lines. I always tell people, be nice to your sponsees, because you never know when they're going to be your sponsor. Anyway, with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, John K. The lines are now open for others to comment on paragraph 2, page 17 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you want to press star 1, I can take some names.
Freya H.
Hi, Freya.
Karen W.
Linda S.
Karen W. And Linda, did you say? Linda S. Okay.
Linda S.
Yolanda D.
Hi, Yolanda.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B. So in the interest of time, let's go with that five. I have Freya H., Karen S., Linda S., Yolanda, did you say D? And Julie E.B. Hello, Freya. Again, it's your turn. And then
Kathy
Karen
L.
Come after you.
Kathy L.
Freya, are you with us?
I am. This is Freya H. in Colorado, compulsive eater bulimic. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share on this. I, you know, upon my first readings of this, I understood, okay, everybody's welcome, you know, that that's what this means here, that there's a diversity in the fellowship. But as, you know, as I have grown in this program, I've come to get it on a deeper level that, you know, as I've worked my program, I recognize that judgment and criticism and making myself separate from other people were, that was my way of life, and that you know, those are my defects, which I get to let God remove. And, you know, it's, I feel like in the fellowship is a great place to practice, you know, having to practice these principles, to have these defects removed and practice new behaviors. And so really practicing how that shows up for me in the rooms, you know, where is my judgment and criticism coming up, and, you know, how would God have me be instead? And it's such a powerful message that's being conveyed right here, that that we have a common peril and that we have a common solution. And it's, you know, it's taught me to look for the good in everybody, and it's taught me to respect different approaches, to respect different, you know, anyone is welcome here. And I've heard from people who, you know, came into OA and were told that they didn't belong, or that they, you know, they weren't overeaters, so they weren't belong. And I have used my own experience as like, well, I didn't do that, you know, I didn't do this. So, and I've used that to separate myself and really to identify in as much as possible instead of comparing out. It's very, very easy for me to compare out. But when I, you know, when my intention is to identify in, then I'm able to actually accept that, yes, this applies to me just as much as it applies to anyone else, no matter what the manifestation of my food addiction looks like. And, you know, if I can identify with one of the questions on the pamphlet, you know, asking, did you do this with food? Did you do that with food? And the one that stood out for me recently when I read, you know, something for a newcomer was, you know, how much time do you spend, you know, thinking about food or food-related things? Like, yep, I you know, regardless of what it shows up in, the, like, in the behaviors or on the outside, in my mind, I know I belong here, and I'm just so grateful that I get to come and learn from people who share this common peril, but even if they have very different experiences, we get to share this common solution. So thank you for the opportunity to share. I'll pass.
This is Karen W. Can I share? Hello? Uh-oh.
Albert, you're still here with me. Was it Karen W. rather than Karen S. that I picked up?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and share. This is Karen W., compulsive overeater in Austin, Texas. And already the two speakers that spoke, I can relate a lot to what they're saying. And myself, a judgment and criticism is also my character defects. And I think I kind of use those to push people away, you know, and I have a fear of, you know, being too close to people. And this program teaches me to keep the magnifying glass upon myself and not on others. And love and tolerance of others is my code. And I always say that to myself when I do have judgmental thoughts about people. I always try to remember that line, love and tolerance is my code. It's like a code of honor, and I'm grateful to wear it. So in recovery, people are my people. I mean, they are my tribe. And in this world of, you know, millions of people, recovery people are the ones I'm most comfortable with. And so I can't afford to push them away, and I can't afford to judge and criticize. Or I'll be back isolating and using, picking up food to kill the feelings of something perceived or some way that you didn't treat me or something you didn't do or blah, 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 blah. You know, I just can't allow my mind to go there and have that mindset. It's an eating mindset. So this program, like this paragraph says, you know, this program binds us together, even though we're all so different. And, you know, I used to go to a happy hour when I used to drink, and I used to, you know, oh, I had such a great time, you know, with these people. Well, what binded us was the alcohol and gossip of other coworkers. That was the bind. So this this bind right here, to me, is about the solution of a, you know, of a disease that will, if it doesn't kill us physically, it'll kill us spiritually. And I think that is a beautiful bind. You know, that's a really strong, powerful bind. And it's the solution that links us together. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Karen W. We have Linda S. then that's coming up, and Yolanda will follow you, Linda. Star one.
Hi, this is Linda S. from Wisconsin, and I'm recovering from anorexia and bulimia. And I'm still relatively new to this, but what I have found is that there is no judgment or criticism, and that's what makes the fellowship so important to me. When I was into my eating disorder, I was the biggest judge of myself, and I criticized myself. And I wouldn't let anyone in because I thought so badly of myself. And now that I'm allowing other people into my life, the fellowship is so important to me. I would go into treatment and meet with other people with similar problems, but then I'd come out and do it on my own again. You know, it goes back to yesterday. It's a week program, not a night program. And now that I'm in OA, I'm not doing it alone. And I'm in a group text, and I go to a meeting, and I get on the phone and talk with the Vision for You people. And I'm starting to feel a connection. And to me, that has been the biggest part of my recovery. Today will be my seventh day of abstinence, and I take it one day at a time, and I have a great sponsor, and the fellowship is wonderful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Linda S. Yolanda D., you're next, and then Julie E.B. Star one, Yolanda, please.
There we go. Thank you.
Hi.
This is Yolanda D., compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I am very grateful today to be on the line and to be able to share. I have just come back from almost 2 weeks in Sierra Leone, which is in West Africa. And when I left, I was very concerned about how I would be doing on program. What I would be able to eat or not eat, and whether I was going to be able to remain spiritually fit in a different country. And what I found was that OA was the biggest blessing imaginable, and that I was able to go into a new country and a new culture with much less resources and support than we are accustomed to where I live in Minnesota and in the United States of America. And the program absolutely worked. I was able to keep higher power first and consult higher power in all my decisions. When I would feel resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, fear, I had to add a few, entitlement, self-seeking, judgmentalism. It was a quick thought, and immediately higher power would turn my face back to the program. And so I started breathing in love, joy, hope, and peace, and then breathing out fear, anxiety, worry, selfishness, etc. I was also concerned about how I would maintain this beautiful fellowship while I was away, but as many of us know, WhatsApp works wonderfully. And I was able to continue to be in fellowship with you all in ways that were so meaningful and so powerful during my absence. And so I don't know how to do it any other way. I am so grateful that I feel weepy this morning, because for many of us, addiction equaled alone. It equaled loneliness, and recovery equals fellowship. And this fellowship carried me 5,544 miles across the ocean and back in a spiritually fit condition. I ate 3 wonderful meals a day, and I returned 15 pounds lighter than I left. And so I will say today, to higher power be all the glory. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Yolanda D. Before we hear from Julie E.B., I wanted to remind folks that we're going to open it up for additional people to comment on paragraph 2, page 17 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. There is a solution, so you might want to get prepared for that because it'll be up in 3 minutes. Julie E.B., you're next.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, one day at a time in Colorado. Today is look from a high point at Pikes Peak at so much beauty, and I can be grateful and I can be a part of this world, but also quiet within this world, connected with my higher power. I'm grateful both for the common peril and for the common solution. You know, when I first came in, it was the common peril. It was the food thoughts. It was the binging, the starving, the stealing, the disorganization and chaos in my life. And I came into the rooms of OA, and people loved me, and they got me. And whether I was up by that 100 pounds or down by that 100 pounds, they loved me. And when a vision sponsor walked in, and I saw that light in her eyes, and I called her, and I got abstinent, I got into this book, I began to get even more into the common solution. And the words came from this page, studying this text and listening to this meeting, building a habit of listening to this meeting every morning before my feet touch the ground, and building other recovery habits. But, of course, no matter what our background is, it wouldn't be enough if we just share that common peril. When I called and said, I can't believe this, I stole food, $2 soup, and someone said, oh yeah, I did that. There was an easing, there was a love, and there's a connection with the fellowship, but that was just the beginning of the common solution, because when I was less isolated with my fellows in the solution, that's when I began to sense that maybe a power greater than me was at work in my life. Maybe a power greater than me could love me when I wasn't unlovable. I, too, have a problem with criticism, judgment, separating myself. It was my higher power that said, I care for you, I protect you. When I first started the program, I would want to wait until I was out of the food, till I was a good girl, to make my calls. I'd want to wait till the emotion subsided to make my calls. But as I grabbed a hold of this solution, I would make my calls when I was thinking those thoughts, catching before the first bite, before the first thought, when the chaos started breaking, and when that critical voice, which was my lower power, would say, you are not enough. I would reach out to a fellow, or I would go to this text, or I would get quiet with my higher power, who would tell me, you are enough. You are precious to me. Just yesterday, I did a 10-step, and it's a moment of self-pity, and someone said, you are loved. And wow, my whole day was set on a course that was sustainable. Thanks for letting me share, and I passed.
Thank you, Julie E.B. The lines are now open for folks to comment on paragraph 2, page 17 of your big book. Press star 1, please.
Happy L. Beatrice
Pam
R.
Beatrice O. Pam R, is that what I heard?
Yes.
Okay.
Kathy Jamie L.
I got you, Kathy L. Who came after Kathy L?
Jamie F.
Jamie. Okay, great. Thank you.
Blair E.
Blair. Mm-hmm. Maybe one more.
Rachel P.
Rachel. Okay, let's go with that and see what happens. So I have Kathy L., Beatrice O., Pam R., Jamie F., Blair E., and Rachel. Was that, did you say P? Okay. Good morning, Kathy L.
Yes, that's Rachel P.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Kathy L. You know, the thing about us all being the same is very interesting for me because, I mean, the same in this fellowship and have a common goal and a common problem. The thing about being anorexic is I really counted on being special. I mean, even though I was, you know, entered fellowship 33 years ago, I felt that I was special because I was the skinniest person around. And that's what I had invested in, was being the skinniest person in the room at all times. And by separating myself in that way, I wasn't helping my recovery. And I see it now, even this 33 years later, how I still am so invested in that and how my body has changed in a way that I'm not the skinniest person in the room anymore. And that's been challenging for me to deal with. But it's also very humbling because it makes me part of the fellowship and it makes me see how I am really traveling this with everyone on an equal footing, that I am no better or no worse or no less than anyone else in the rooms. And, of course, you know, when we're doing this meeting, I hear a reading, and it's almost like I'm hearing it for the first time, and I so appreciate that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy L. The next person up to comment will be Beatrice O., and then Pam R. will follow you.
Is it my turn? This is Beatrice O.
Yes, it is. Hi. Good morning.
Hi, this is Beatrice O from Northern California in Los Gatos. And I like this paragraph because it says, we are people who normally would not mix. And I've met some really true friends in this program that I've known for decades in recovery. And some of the things that I've learned about people in 12-step programs, and I'm talking about for myself, I've learned that even though we're people who would normally not mix and we have a lot of acquaintances and we share a common peril, some of the things I've learned through sponsors and being a sponsor and through my fellows is we are not, my sponsor is not my doctor, my banker, my lawyer. She's not my therapist. She's not my real estate agent. And she's not a relationship expert. So I've learned to have boundaries. And I stopped criticizing people and judging them, you know, because before, you know, if you only had 30, 40 pounds to lose, I would tune you out because, you know, I come from big numbers. And what do you know about being an obese child? You know, 40 pounds is nothing, I used to think. So I've learned to be cautious. And I've learned to let go. I mean, I've met people in this program who I thought would be here for the rest of their life. And they've gone their separate ways. And in the program, it says right here, subside as we go on our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in this powerful cement that binds us, but that in itself would never have held together as we are now joined. So some of us stay, and some people recover and leave. And the other thing that I've learned, and I'll finish up with this, is I know that when I've been in relapse, you know, I don't get the phone calls like I used to. You know, it's like people think I have a disease that's contagious. Anyway, so with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Pam R., you're next, and followed up with Jamie F. Pam R.
This is Pam R., covered in Littleton, Colorado. Thank you all for being on the line today. I want to zero in on camaraderie and joyousness in this. My defect is staying rooted in the problem. Denial is not my coping mechanism. Morbid reflection is more where I feel comfortable. And so I love to think about the camaraderie and the joyousness of recovery. I feel like my service in a group is to bring awareness to the fun of the sober life, which is so much better than the low-grade fever of overeating. And thinking that the ease and comfort of overeating is better than the self-worth that comes from abstinence is where I get backtracked. Because the confidence that I gain by being able to like myself when I am abstinent, that is a God-given removal of the problem. And so camaraderie and joyousness in recovery is where I want to be and where I want to bring others along with me, shoulder to shoulder. There is a solution. It's a we solution. There's no way I can do this on my own. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Pam R. Jamie F., you're next, and then Blair will follow you.
Hi, this is Jamie F. in Philadelphia. I'm getting so much out of the honesty this morning, and it's so relatable to me. In this paragraph, one of the passages that I've always loved, the metaphor of having survived a shipwreck and that moment of camaraderie, joyousness, pervading the vessel from steerage to captain's table, I just always get this image of sort of being in the lifeboat, you know, while we're watching the Titanic sink and think, whew, we made it somehow, and it's God's grace, so we really need each other. We really need this lifeboat. And I, you know, need people, and that's a really, really new thing for me to say or feel. And I also know that my judgment and criticism loves to keep me separate from other people. It's just so cleverly, I don't know, cunning in my ego. And two, I also have thought that because I haven't been overweight in a very long time and kept my weight down through anorexia, that I wasn't like other people and that I could get the high off of under-eating and therefore was better or just had also a less powerlessness, thinking I wasn't as powerless as other people because I looked thin. But I am seeing so much the delusion of that and just having moved the disease in a different direction, and while it continues to thrive in my brain and my body, and also getting the high off of under-eating, which is also a high. So it is such a relief to see that for what it is and to kind of be able to drop it, let go, and realize we all are the same amount of powerless regardless of what it looks like. And those judgments are our egos. It's pretty sad, and I'm just so happy that I still have some life in me to be able to connect and be equal with everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie F. Blair E., you're next, and then Rachel P. will follow you.
Hi, this is Blair E., recovering anorexic bulimic overeater, exercise addict in Los Angeles. So good to be on the meeting this morning, and really good to read about. I also love the metaphor of, like, getting off of a sinking ship. I woke up this morning in a pretty excruciating level of pain, which is I have a lot of bodily pain as a result of my exercise addiction. And I was able, because of this program and because of the humbleness and acceptance that, like, I'm not alone and I'm not the only one who suffers, I was able to reach out to fellows. And that is really how I get the willingness. My disease would have me go to all of the things that I had planned today, even though I'm in so much physical pain. And I was able instead to turn to other fellows I know who know they don't suffer. They don't suffer from the same exact physical injury that I have, but they suffer with other types of chronic illness and pain. And I was able to, you know, talk to them early this morning before 7 a.m. and let them know that, hey, I'm going to pray for willingness to not go out tonight. And I'm going to pray for willingness to text my support, like my physical therapist. And I'm going to pray for willingness to take care of myself and listen to my body today instead of listening to my head. And that's not me. That's my higher power, because in my disease, it was push through, ignore the body, don't pretend you don't have a body, do what you have to do, even if you're in, like, so much pain. And it really is weakness that binds us together. And I've had to realize that in the past week. You know, I really like to be the perfect student, don't like to share about when I'm struggling, and that didn't work for me last week. I ended up kind of spiraling out mentally, and then it showed up in my food. And in the past week, I've just been being honest, and I realized that 1 minute on the problem, 2 minutes on the solution still includes 1 minute on the problem. And so the solution today is meetings. The solution today is praying, writing, meditation, which always helps my pain levels come down because I can calm down enough to release the tension in my body. So I'm really grateful for this meeting, and thanks for everyone on the line. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Blair E. Rachel P., you're up next, and then we might have time for one more person after Rachel.
Hi, good morning, my
Hi,
fellow.
Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, thank you. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. Before I came into the rooms, I thought that there was something wrong with me. Like, I couldn't connect with people. For my entire life, I had trouble making friends and keeping friends, and I was just such a shy, introverted, kind of person. And all throughout elementary school, through high school, and even in college, I had maybe one or two friends I was close with, but never, the massive groups of friends that I saw other people were able to connect with. And I thought, I have social anxiety, I can't connect with people, I'm just such an introvert. And I learned later, introvert is not a bad word. It's okay to be an introvert. It's okay to be exactly who I am. What was not okay was that I was binging and restricting and over-exercising in secret and carrying so much shame and guilt from all of that I couldn't connect with people. That when I was face-to-face with somebody at the rare party I might have been invited to in college, I was thinking about what I was going to binge when I got home. That is why I couldn't connect with people. And I came in about 11 months ago today, and I came to a speaker meeting. And after the meeting, people talked to me. They earnestly wanted to get to know me and take my phone number. And then later I received calls and texts, and my old self was still there. And after meetings, I would kind of grab my things and go. And I would not make an effort to talk to people, and I still thought there was something wrong with me at points. As I started to speak at meetings, which was such a challenge for me at first, even now my heart is racing, speaking on this line, and that's my introvert side. But I know that that's okay, and I know that the thing that is such a challenge for me to share about my disease is the thing that I need to do to get covered. And because I do that, I'm able to connect with people in this fellowship and be welcomed by people who outside of these rooms I would never be friends with. You know, I text and call people on a weekly basis who otherwise I wouldn't associate with, and that's a beautiful thing that I now have a fellowship of people who get me, and I am just so grateful for this community, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. Looks like we have time for at least 1 3-minute share, if not 2 2-minute shares. If you would like to press star 1 and take those spots, take your name.
Marissa E.
Nadia B. and Marissa E. 2 minutes each, ladies. Thank you. Hi, Nadia. It's your turn first.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And please sign me. You know, what really spoke to me today is that we are now joined, you know, not stuck, not chained. I'm here voluntarily. I can leave anytime I want. The gift to me today is that I don't want to. In my disease, I did not want to be with anyone. Neither did I want to be at those meetings. You know, it just was not something that I ever desired. And today, you know, accepting that I was a compulsive overeater is the best beginning, the beginning to the best journey that ever happened for me. you know, it is a gift. Recovery is a gift. It still gives me a goosebumps to think that I would have never met some of my peeps here that helped me with this thinking that I had that was so isolating. You know, who wants to be on the couch eating, you know, with closed doors, hiding? And the power that this recovery gives me is nothing like the grips that my disease, the power of my disease was. You know, it is a choice. Recovery is a choice, and the solution is a choice. So I am, you know, with you choosing this one day at a time, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nadia. Marissa E., you'll close us out today.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Marissa E., recovered outside Los Angeles. Welcome to the newcomer, compulsive overeater still suffering. Just the line, we are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck. And I believe this is one of the first times we're going to see this metaphor or analogy, right, with shipwreck. And I looked up rescue, right, like the moment after rescue. And it's the act of saving or being saved from danger or distress. Right. And I just picture myself before I got here, and even in OA, right, even in OA, it was like people were throwing buoys at me and inviting me into the boat. And I was like, no, I want to stay. I didn't want to, but I was staying in that water. And just a little bit after this, we're going to see that metaphor, right, that parallel with us, you know, in the water, just drowning. On page 28, you know, we sought the same escape from all the desperation of drowning men. What seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God, right? God is going to save me. God did save me from this distress, from this danger. And now, right, I'm in the boat trying to help everybody else get in too. I don't get to graduate. I don't get to be saved and, you know, get back to land and just keep going. It's like, no, like, because we know that common peril, we want to help get you out too. So I'm just really grateful for the purpose that I have here and that camaraderie right, of being in that boat and just sitting next to all of you, you know, reaching out our hands to the next compulsive overeater still suffering. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Marissa E. And that will close out the sharing and recorded portion of our meeting as we move into the next section. But first, let me thank everyone here on Team Tuesday for making this particular meeting possible and this particular study that will be archived for you all to listen to again and again and again. So thanks again. We will now close this portion with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and we'll follow that with a Serenity Prayer. And still stay with us because we'll have an invitation for newcomers and sponsors by Cindy D. and Leslie, and we'll give some announcements. Wendy B., would you please read from page 164 in the Big Book? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yeah, hello, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.